Don't worry about anything but in everything by prayer and petition. With thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Thanks for joining us today. This is the Hour of Intercession. I'm Pastor Joseph Parker. We invite you to look with us to begin with in the Word of God in the book of Psalms, Psalm 148, beginning at verse 1. Hallelujah! Praise the Lord from the heavens. Praise Him in the heights. Praise Him, all His angels. Praise Him, all His hosts. Praise Him, sun and moon. Praise Him, all you shining stars. Praise Him, highest heavens, and you waters above the heavens. Let them praise the name of Yahweh, for He commanded, and they were created. He set them in position forever and ever. He gave an order that will never pass away. Praise the Lord from the earth, all sea monsters and ocean depths, lightning and hail, snow and cloud, powerful wind that executes His command. Mountains and all hills, fruit trees and all cedars, wild animals and all cattle, creatures that crawl and flying birds, kings of the earth and all peoples, princes and all judges of the earth, young men as well as young women, old and young together, let them praise the name of Yahweh. For His name alone is exalted. His majesty covers heaven and earth. He has raised up a horn for His people, resulting in praise to all His godly ones, to the Israelites, the people close to Him. Hallelujah. Psalm 149. Hallelujah! Sing to the Lord a new song, His praise in the assembly of the godly. Let Israel celebrate its maker. Let the children of Zion rejoice in their king. Let them praise His name with dancing and make music to Him with tambourine and lyre. For Yahweh takes pleasure in His people. He adorns the humble with salvation. Let the godly celebrate in triumphal glory. Let them shout for joy on their beds. Let the exaltation of God be in their mouths and a double-edged sword in their hands, inflicting vengeance on the nations and punishment on the peoples, binding their kings with chains and their dignitaries with iron shackles, carrying out the judgment decreed against them. This honor is for all His godly people. Hallelujah. Psalm 150. Hallelujah. Praise God in His sanctuary. Praise Him in His mighty heavens. Praise Him for His powerful acts. Praise Him for His abundant greatness. Praise Him with trumpet blast. Praise Him with harp and lyre. Praise Him with tambourine and dance. Praise Him with flute and strings. Praise Him with resounding cymbals. Praise Him with clashing cymbals. Let everything that breathes praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And then finally, looking in the Gospel of Matthew, Matthew chapter 2, beginning at verse 1. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of King Herod, wise men from the east arrived unexpectedly in Jerusalem, saying, "Where is He who has been born King of the Jews? For we saw His star in the east and have come to worship Him." When King Herod heard this, he was deeply disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. So he assembled all the chief priests and scribes of the people and asked them, "Where is the Messiah? Where the Messiah would be born?" "In Bethlehem of Judea," they told him, "because this is what was written by the prophet, 'And you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of the leaders of Judah, because out of you will come a leader who will shepherd my people Israel.'" Then Herod secretly summoned the wise men and asked them the exact time the star appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search carefully for the child. When you find him, report back to me so that I too can go and worship him." After hearing the king, they went on their way, and there it was, the star they had seen in the east. It led them until it came and stopped above the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed beyond measure. Entering the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and falling to their knees, they worshiped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. and being warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their own country by another route. Verses 1 through 12, Matthew chapter 2. Thank you, Father, for being El Shaddai, the God who is more than enough. Thank you for being our King of Kings and our Lord of Lords. Thank you, Lord, for the fact that your word is so many things. It's light, it's peace, it's power, but also it's a wonderful book of worship, a book that points to you, a book that teaches us who you are and helps us to grow an understanding of why you're such a wonderful gift to us and how we can draw closer to you. Father, anoint us all afresh with the spirit of worship and empower us to be the worshiping church you've called us to be and help us to grow an understanding of the great blessing, the great grace, the great light, the great encouragement that is ours as we live a lifestyle of worship. Teach us more and more to be the worshiping and empower us to be the worshiping church you've called us to be more and more. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Thanks again for listening to the Hour of Intercession. I'm Pastor Joseph Parker. Our Isaac Jackson is our producer, and he's going to lead us in a word of prayer at this time.
Heavenly Father, thank you so much for these moments. And Father, thank you so much for being our provider. Thank you so much for being our healer. Thank you so much for making us by your own hands and for giving us new names, Father. Father, thank you so much for shedding your own blood in Jesus to save us from our sins. Father, you love us so much. And Father, I ask that you'd teach us to love more, to glorify your name more. Father, I ask that you teach us to be more like Abel in that he gave his first fruits. Before he even took anything for himself, he gave you the best. Thank you so much, Father, for all of the examples that have gone before and for being so patient and kind. In your holy name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Isaac. And thank you again for being a part of our listening family. We are blessed and honored to have with us in studio today, Pastor Kyle Holder. He is the worship leader at Christ Methodist Church in Memphis, Tennessee. Pastor Kyle, how are you today?
I'm doing well. Thank you so much for having me. It's an honor to be here.
Honor to have you. And I had the privilege, actually on more than one occasion, to be where you were teaching, doing workshops on worship. And I'm going to ask if you'll, Pastor Kyle, if you'll take a few more moments to further introduce yourself and to also dive right into what is a worship leader. People hear that term and probably really don't really know what that means. So if you'll tell us a little bit more about you and then share about the work that you do as a worship leader at Christ Church.
Yeah, I'd be honored to. Thank you again just for having me. And I'm Kyle Holder. I'm originally from Apex, North Carolina. Go Cougars, class of 2009. Ended up in Memphis, Tennessee at Visible Music College for my bachelor's degree. Visible's an amazing college that was started by Ken Stortz, guy who started Skillet with John Cooper. He was the original songwriter and guitar player for that band. And he came off the road to start a college to teach people to not just be excellent musically, but be excellent in their theology and their doctrine as well. So found that wonderful school and went there for 4 years and then went back to North Carolina to minister in the local church. And then about 3.5 years ago, got a call to come back to Memphis to teach at Visible. So I've been honored to be doing that. I run their certificate programs. And then 9 months in, I just had a chance encounter leading worship in an event for Asbury Seminary at Christ Methodist Church. And a few months later, we were having a conversation about becoming the worship pastor there, and me and my wife and our daughter coming on there. And so I've been there now for a little over a year, and it's been really amazing just to see how God will take dreams that he places in your heart, callings that he places within you, and just to be able to look back and see them come into fruition. And in this season that we're in, it's just been really beautiful. So that's a little bit more about me. I do have a wife named Leah, and I have two amazing daughters, one who is fresh out. She was born a month ago, and she was born about 6 weeks early. So she was a preemie. She was 34 weeks when she came into the world and scared her dad a little bit having to come in through a C-section. So, but she's here. So I've got Mercy James. She's about a month old. And then I've got Selah Bell, and she is 3 years old. So that's a little bit more about me.
Mm.
Well, Pastor Scott, I want to ask you, if you would take, as we move forward, I want to ask if you'll talk with our listeners about what worship really is. You know, I think all of us have heard that word probably for most of our lives, but it helps to really understand what worship is. And I wanted to mention this too. Coming out of the break, we're going to hear a song that you wrote, and so we're going to get a chance to talk probably a little bit more about it in the next segment, though. But define worship for us.
Yeah. Man, such a heavy question, right? Because it's a term that we see all throughout Scripture. It's a term that many people would define in different ways. But the way that I've come to define it in my life and ministry is to go to the Scriptures. And for me, I believe that God has created us to be loved by and to love Him. Mm-hmm. To be adored by and to adore Him. And so for me, when I look at the Scriptures and I see in chapter 17, when we look at John in chapters 14 through 17, and even in John 13, we see Jesus using this phrase where He says, "If you love me, you'll obey my commands." Mm-hmm. And so to me, coming out of that scripture and many others, I've just come to define worship as we behold God as He is, mm-hmm. and we respond accordingly. Mm-hmm. That is worship. So that's, notice I didn't mention any instruments. I didn't mm-hmm. mention music. Mm-hmm. That is a expression of worship. But for me, the way I define worship is it is for us to behold God as He is and to respond accordingly. And according to Jesus, our response to a holy God is that we would love Him by obeying Him. Mm-hmm. So that's really the fruit of our life. And so to mm-hmm. me, worship is more about the fruit of our life in response to who God is. Mm-hmm. than it is about any music.
And again, that's such a powerful way to put it, our response to God. And, you know, Scripture also says, let everything that has breath praise the Lord. And so apparently it's not limited just to us people.
Yeah.
That even animals, angels can all worship the Lord. Would you take a moment to pray for our listeners to really have ears to hear all the Lord wants to say to them through the broadcast today?
Absolutely. Father, we just come to you now and we surrender this time to you, Lord, knowing that we are imperfect beings talking about a holy God. And so, Lord, we ask that as we continue to speak with one another, as we continue to share, Lord, would you take what comes out of our mouths? Would you mold it and shape it? And, Lord, would it be received through your Spirit to those that are listening? In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Father, and I do thank you for your word, which is you. And thank you for how, as we read and meditate in your word, you teach us about you. You teach us how to follow you. You teach us how to war. You teach us how to be vessels through which your Spirit can operate. More and more empower us to be the diligent students of your word that are allowing your word to shape us and mold us to be the worshiping followers that you've called us to be. We thank you and praise you. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Well, Pastor Guy, we're coming up on a break. And again, on the other side, we are going to listen to, again, the title one more time of the song is?
It's called Holy.
Holy. We're going to listen to that song, and Pastor Guy is going to share a little bit more about that song on the other side of the break as well. Father, again, thank you for the privilege you give us. Even children can worship you and serve you. Father, even nature worships and serves you and praises you. Thank you for the privilege of being a part of the universe that worships and serves you, empowers us to be the faithful worshipers more and more that you would have us to be. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. You're listening to the Hour of Intercession. Our in-studio guest is Pastor Kyle Holder, the worship leader of Christ Methodist Church in Memphis, Tennessee. We'll be right back.
crafted with hands of mercy and grace. Grace that is stronger, hands that overcome, washing my sin away in your blood. You are holy, holy, holy. All the angels bow down before you. All the elders cast their crowns, singing.
Song by Pastor Kyle Holder entitled Holy. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on American Family Radio. Again, we have the privilege of having Pastor Kyle in studio with us. Pastor Kyle, tell us about the song. What's on your mind that you'd like to share with our listeners about the message and what the Lord put on your heart to share through the song?
Yeah, man. You know, we're in a time where there are so many different types of worship songs. Mm-hmm. And a common conversation that's always had, whether it's debate or just having general conversation, is about the language that we use in our songs that we sing in church. we talk about things like, you know, is it too much of I and me and not enough of you unto God? And so for me, one thing that I'm really passionate about communicating as far as worship is that I feel like we're living in a time where it's really easy to be susceptible to the mindset that we come to worship God because of how he'll make us feel or what he might do for us. And for me, this song is massively about, no, listen, this is the God of the universe. He is worthy of you stepping into community at your church and lifting praise to him just based on the fact that he is who he says he is. So the song, the verses are these comparisons, right, where you are the potter, I'm the vase. You're the author, I'm just a page. You are the glory, and I'm on my knees before you. This idea being that I really believe that we need more and more songs. We will never not need more songs that are faithful to the truth, that are unto the Lord. And when it came down to finishing this song, I had the two verses, and I had a chorus that my friend Jeremy Horn helped me kind of recraft after it was originally done. And then I was just stuck on this third verse. And I was like, I don't know what I want to do here, but my wife and I had walked through our second child, technically was actually stillborn at 37 weeks. And I just remember I'm sitting in my room and I'm reminded of this thought I had in the hospital where I just remember I kept thinking that if I was going to find any solace in the Lord, it was going to be two things. It was going to be the fact that I knew that though she never opened her eyes in this world, the first time she opened her eyes, she saw that face. She saw the face that that verse describes, you know, eyes that burn as fire, a face shining like the sun, hair white as wool. And so I just leaned into that and wrote that verse as just kind of a time. It was just a time of worship. I was in my spare bedroom in our house, and I was just weeping and really crying out to the Lord. And so that third verse came, and it's just this really backed behind this idea that, again, when we behold him as he is, we can't help but respond accordingly with just, as Job, I think, would put it, I'm undone. And that's where that came from.
Would you take time, Pastor God, to pray for believers to grow in the understanding of the what a wonderful and a powerful part of our lives worship is at least supposed to be? Because all our lives we should be growing in our understanding of what it is and how we live that out. But the fact is, too often I think we think of it as something you do on Sunday morning for an hour, as opposed to a lifestyle that you do wherever you go kind of throughout your life. You know, would you pray for believers to grow in their understanding of how to really do that?
Absolutely. Father, I pray for everyone just under the sound of our voices, Lord, that they would, Lord, that they would receive just a awakening in their hearts and a hunger to behold you at all times throughout their day, that their gaze would be turned to you, and that their response to that would be one of, God, here I am. What would you require of me? Here I am, send me. God, that our lives would be a continuous act, a continuous living out of worship, rather than looking at worship as little moments during a service. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Pastor God, I want to ask if you'll just kind of comment on this important truth. You know, King David, of course, wrote close to half the Psalms, and David of course, the greatest king Israel has ever had, of course, is Jesus.
Yeah.
But next to Jesus, King David would be the next greatest king, and he's a towering figure in all of Scripture in a wonderful and a unique way. And God refers to him as a man after his own heart. But one of the wonderful and powerful things we know about David is he was a worshiping king. Yeah. Worship was a big part of his life. And I believe there's some connection between the fact that he was a worshiper and that, and he ended up being a towering figure throughout the Word of God, Old and New Testament as well. And so there's apparently much we can learn as we read and study, obviously, the Psalms that King David wrote. But also, too, again, I think of this, too, Matthew 2. I tell you, I'm gonna read it again. But in Matthew 2, this is, we think of this as a part of the Christmas story, and it is wonderfully, but the powerful message of worship in the story of the wise men is something that sometimes may be sort of overlooked. I'm going to read it again, but noticing that worship is they came to worship. Again, Matthew 2, starting at verse 1 once again. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of King Herod, wise men from the east arrived unexpectedly in Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he who has been born King of the Jews? For we saw his star in the east and have come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was deeply disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. So he assembled all the chief priests and scribes of the people and asked them where the Messiah would be born. "In Bethlehem of Judea," they told him, "because this is what was written by the prophet. And you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for because out of you will come a leader who will shepherd my people Israel." Then Herod secretly summoned the wise men and asked them the exact time the star appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search carefully for the child, and when you find him, report back to me so I too can go and worship him." After hearing the king, they went on their way, and there it was, the star they had seen in the east. It led them until it came and stopped above the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed beyond measure. Entering the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and falling to their knees, they worshiped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And being warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their own country by another route. Again, they came a long way to worship, and it doesn't appear they came to get anything.
Yeah.
They came to worship him, and they came to bring him gifts that you'd give to a king.
Yeah.
Just tell your thoughts, as not just as a worship leader, as a pastor, just a servant of the Lord, though.
Yeah, no, I love that you chose the scripture for today. Oddly enough, Visible Music College is going to be releasing a Christmas album this year.
Mm.
And they were very gracious and included one of my songs, a Christmas worship song that I wrote called Glorious Evermore. It's going to be on it. And mm-hmm. the line that started that whole song is a line where it says, "The star up above will lead to an empty tomb."
Mm-hmm.
And so the idea that this makes me think of here is that, the wise men came to bring an offering, but their dedication to who he was didn't stop there. A lot of people, we would love to have the convenience to treat Jesus like a necessary pit stop on the journey of life. Let's come mm-hmm. and let's visit with him and get our salvation from him and then go about our way. But the real way of worship and discipleship is more like Peter. You come to him, you realize who he is, and you say, "Lord, where will I go?"
Mm-hmm.
You have the words mm-hmm. of life. You mm-hmm. are the Son of God. And then we stay with him because the journey didn't end at a manger. The star was just the beginning, and it wasn't just pointing to a child in a manger. It pointed all the way to an empty tomb.
Mm-hmm.
And so the idea being that worship, a life of worship, is really adopting and understanding that a life lived with Jesus is a life where you come and you stay.
Mm-hmm.
You come and you sit at the feet and you stay. And mm-hmm. you say, "Lord, wherever you go, I will go."
Mm-hmm.
And so that's really the heart of that for me, is that when we come to this Savior, he's not just a pit stop.
Right.
Worship isn't just a pit stop. It's not just an occasional thing. It's a thing where we come and we remain. We abide.
That's right.
Like
that's
he said right. in John 15, we come and we abide.
And, in I don't know how many different times you'd find in Scripture where the Lord makes a statement to this effect, "Rejoice in the Lord always." And again, I say rejoice. That's not just a nice thing to do. It's one form of worshiping and honoring and focusing on God and his goodness. And at the same time, it's a weapon.
Yes.
It's a way whereby we do warfare.
Yeah.
And it's a way whereby we disarm the enemy in the kingdom of darkness, which again almost seems odd, but it's reality.
Yeah.
Out of the mouths and babes and sucklings you have ordained strength. Even children can worship and do serious warfare, building the kingdom and tearing down the kingdom of darkness.
Amen.
Father, thank you, Lord, for the fact that you've called us to be a people who worship you. Lord, yet at the same time, we need your Holy Spirit, our divine tutor, to teach us how to worship, but help us to realize it's much more important than we even begin to comprehend. Thank you, Father, for being El Shaddai, the God who is more than enough. Thank you for being our King of Kings and our Lord of Lords. Thank you, Lord, for the fact that your word points us to your goodness, your greatness, your power, your mercy, your love, and so much more. Lord, I thank you for the fact that even as you gave us your word, as we even read Genesis chapter 1, you introduce us to you by telling us how you created the world. What a wonderful God you are. We thank you and we praise you. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Our in-studio guest today is Pastor Kyle Holder, the worship leader of Christ Methodist Church in Memphis. And we're going to hear his song, Holy, one more time on the other side of the break. We'll be back.
Eyes that burn as fire, sword for a tongue. Hair white as wool, they shine like the sun. All the angels bow down before you. All the elders cast their crowns, saying,
music of Pastor Kyle Holder. Again, the song simply entitled Holy. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession. Pastor Kyle, if someone listening would like to get a copy of the song, how would they do that and when is that possible?
Yeah, absolutely. So actually, we were able to give you guys a sneak peek at that song today, essentially. That song has not yet been released.
Mm-hmm.
But the way you can stay in tune with when it will be released, which is very soon, I can't say an official release date just yet, but it will be coming very soon. You can follow me on Instagram at Kyle Holder, K-Y-L-E-H-O-L-D-E-R, 901. That's at Kyle Holder, 901 on Instagram. If you can follow me on there, you'll be able to stay in touch with when that song will release, and it will be coming soon.
Okay. And if someone wants to maybe just be in touch with you or learn more about your ministry and the work you do at Christ Church, how could they do that?
Yeah, again, follow that social media account at KyleHolder901 on Instagram. You can also email me at KyleHolder901@gmail.com. Again, that's KyleHolder901@gmail.com if you want to reach out, talk worship ministry. And also, you can in general just check out ChristChurchMemphis.org and see some of our worship services there, and hopefully some more resources and podcasts coming out from there soon on worship as well.
And you've written a few other songs as well, too, then?
Yes, sir. Yes, okay. Sir. You can actually check out some other songs. Actually, today, if you wanted to go listen to some songs that we've released under Visible Worship Collective, again, that's Visible Worship Collective from Visible Music College. If you type in that band name in Spotify, Apple Music, Prime Music, anything, you'll see two songs called Alive in Me and Something About Your Name. I was the primary songwriter on both of those, and then I was the lead vocalist on Something About Your Name as well. So you can go check those out right now.
Okay. All right. Well, our time is almost gone. We have a few more minutes. I wanted to ask if you'll talk to our listeners about the importance of the connection between worship and discipleship, the life of a believer as we follow Christ.
Yes, man. The only way I know to address this is to just tell a little bit of my story when I arrived at Visible. Up until college, first of all, I had three champions that believed in a young man who didn't deserve to be believed in. And that was my music minister, Pastor Jeff Olds, my first youth pastor, Pastor Kevin Davis, and my high school youth pastor, Justin Carmona. These men took me and did everything they could to mold me and give me opportunities to lead worship, and I didn't deserve that. So I stand on their shoulders every single day. So in the local church, when you see young people that have a gift or they have a talent or they're willing to learn a talent and a gift and give it to the Lord, don't hesitate. Pull them in close, invest in them, and see what God does with them. But when I got to Visible, there was a recent graduate named Matt Koss, who is my brother to this day. He called the school once I arrived, and he said, "Hey, listen, I'm a worship pastor at a local church still here in Memphis. Can you send me a first-year worship leader that plays electric guitar that I can pour into. And he met me, and it was off to the races. He, every week, he taught me new things. He took what I was learning in the classroom about worship, showed me how to live it out and how to apply it. He also lived out this radical discipleship where, I don't know about you guys, but if you're married, I don't think in the first 2 years of your marriage, you're inviting a 20-something-year-old to come and live with you because you're discipling him. Mm-hmm. But this was just the radical level that Matt and his wife Natalie were committed to see me grow, not just as a musician, not just as a worship leader in the context of the local church, but as a disciple of Jesus. They were committed to seeing me really just based on two principles, that I would live my life in such a way that daily I would taste and see and know that the Lord is good, and that my response to that would be to embody a lifestyle that represented the kingdom of God well. And so they did that with me my entire time at Visible. And then so to go away and then take what he taught me and what him and his wife invested in me, I was able to take this mentality and go into youth ministry, worship ministry in the local church back in North Carolina, and really approach my students and approach other people on worship teams, not with the mentality of just what they did with a musical instrument, but just with the mentality that the instrument and the music is just a vehicle. It's a reason. It gets us in the room together to talk about life, to talk about following Jesus, and to be molded into that, rubbing shoulders with one another, actually living life and doing life together. So for me, the way that that has further impacted the way I approach ministry now, is that when I'm working with worship teams, whether it's Visible Worship Collective, my team at Christ Church, or if I get called to go and do a workshop like where you and I met in Saltillo working with another Global Methodist church, is this idea that if we're not implementing musical instrumentation, contemporary worship in our churches, we're missing out on a massive opportunity to not just reach the generation that's coming behind us, but to pull them in to what we're doing, to pull them into what God is doing in the church. Because if, I'll just use a guitar player as an example, if I have a guitar player in my ministry that I'm pouring into, and they understand then that they can turn around and say, oh, well, there's this young 16-year-old kid. He plays guitar in the youth team. I'm gonna grab him. I'm gonna pull him in. I'm gonna get him playing on the adult team as well, and I'm also going to disciple him. I'm going to meet with him every week.
Well, Pastor Scott, our time is just about gone. Would you pray for the church to mature and grow to understand the serious nature of the kind of discipleship work you're talking about, because it's so needed really across the board? Would you pray for the church to grow in that regard?
Absolutely. Father, I pray that everyone that's listening would, especially those involved in worship ministry in the local church, Lord, that they would take a moment to ask the question, who is available to be invested in? God, that you would bring those people to mind and that they would reach back, pull those people in close, and see discipleship have its way in the ministry of their church. In Jesus' name, amen.
And Father, to thank you for the fact that, Lord, you told us in Matthew 28, you told us to go in all the world and make disciples. You called us, Lord. You want us to be disciples and make disciples. Teach us and empower us to take it very, very serious, and help us to faithfully be about that work each and every day of our lives. And help us to know, Lord, that, again, that's the high priority of the church, and we're to be working towards that in every single day. We thank you, and we praise you. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Amen. Thank you so much, Pastor Kyle, for being with us today. And let me say to all of our listeners, as we normally do, before we end the broadcast, if you are listening today and you maybe been here, you heard and listened to some of the things that were shared, but but you know that you've never given your life to Christ, or you know you're not where you should be or need to be in terms of your relationship with Christ, if you sense a need to commit your life or recommit your life to the Lord, I want to invite you to pray a prayer of committing or recommitting your life to the Lord even now. Would you simply, from your heart, pray this prayer with me in order to do that right now? Lord Jesus, thank you for loving me so much that you came into this world a long time ago. You lived. You died on the cross to pay for all my sins. 3 days later, you rose up from the dead so that I could be saved. Lord, I confess, I've sinned and done wrong in many, many ways. Lord, I repent and I turn from all the wrong I've done. Forgive me, Lord, for all the wrong things I've done. Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Be the Lord and Savior of my life. You told us in your word, whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Lord, I'm calling on your name. Lord, save me. Fill me with your spirit. Help me to follow you all my life. Help me to read your word daily and walk closely with you. Help me to pray daily. Help me to live what I learn from your word daily. In Jesus' name. Amen. Well, if you committed your heart to Christ or recommitted your heart, we would like to be in touch with you. I'd like to share with you some literature and resource materials that will help you to begin to grow up and grow strong in your new walk with the Lord. My email, joseph@afr.net. Again, that's joseph@afr.net. Please get in touch with us. We definitely want to connect and get some resource materials that will help you to begin to put down roots deep in your new relationship with Christ. Pastor Kyle, thanks so much for being with us again. Now, once again, if someone wants to get in touch with you or learn more about your work, ministry, or music, how can they do that?
Yep, that's going to be at KyleHolder901 on Instagram, and then KyleHolder901@gmail.com if you want to get in touch.
Thanks so much for being with us. Thank you for listening. Join us again next time for the Hour of Intercession.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.